It's Monday, March 30th. I'm Oscar Ramirez from the Daily Dive podcast in Los Angeles, and this is your daily coronavirus update. Fearing a surge of coronavirus cases that could tear through prisons and jails, counties and states are releasing thousands of inmates. Health and corrections officials have issued warnings about cramped and unsanitary conditions that could spread the virus and put inmates, corrections officers, and prison healthcare workers at risk. Kimberly Kindy, national investigative reporter at the Washington Post, tells us who's getting out of jail. Thanks for joining us, Kimberly.
Thanks for having me.
Amid fears that the coronavirus could spread through prisons and jails, there's a lot of counties and states that are releasing thousands of inmates. It's been happening in California, although they've reported no cases, especially when you look at Los Angeles County. They've reduced their inmate population by 6% in the last 3 weeks. Other states, obviously, New Jersey, New York, everybody's looking into this. They just don't want an outbreak to happen for fear that the prisoners can get the coronavirus themselves. And then also the correctional officers and the medical staff that work inside those prisons also could contract this. Kimberly, tell us a little bit more about it.
It's really interesting because with this movement, and I guess I would say it's a movement, we're seeing people who have all kinds of perspectives. Conservative people, progressive people, defense attorneys, and public defenders who aren't necessarily always on the same side. And they're actually coming together in some areas in a very swift way to try to identify the people who they think they can safely release so they can create some space in the jails and the prisons so that they can have a place where they can isolate an inmate if they become ill or if somebody gets exposed. They have a place there to quarantine inmates until they're sure. And then also to create social distancing within the prisons. We're being told to stay 6 feet apart. They need space within the prison so they can create that within the prisons so that they can also remain safe. And as you pointed out, so that not only inmates remain safe, but everybody who works in the prisons remains safe and the jails. I mean, they leave every day. They go home to their families. They go back into the communities. And so this is a national health concern.
Talk a little bit about who would be eligible for this. To be clear, there's not going to be violent criminals being released through this. They're looking for people that are within the last 30 days of their sentence already, or nonviolent criminals, things like that.
You know, in the county jails, a lot of them, they're looking at somebody in prison just because they couldn't make bail. There are a lot of people who just if they could make bail, they would be out. They're looking at people like that. They're looking at folks who are definitely low-risk offenders, nonviolent offenders. So if you have somebody who, for instance, is 80 years old and they are a nonviolent offender, maybe they're a white-collar criminal, and they're looking at trying to get them released back into society, and in some cases, back into society, but on home confinement.
A lot of these people could be eligible for something like that. You still have to do the home confinement as part of it. And there's also the term being thrown around compassionate release. So this would be also for elderly inmates and inmates that have underlying medical conditions.
There's a big push within the federal system to expand pre-existing programs. There's a pilot program for the elderly that they can apply for. It hasn't been fully utilized. There are advocates who are pushing for them to expand that. Yes, that's people who it used to be 65 or older with the 2018 First Step Act, which was a criminal reform effort legislation that it went from 65 to 60. And so people who are eligible are 60 and over now. Now, there's a number of criteria that they have to fall into. Nonviolent people, they can't be people who just arrived. And then there's also the Compassionate Release Program, which you just mentioned. That's for people who, generally speaking, we're talking about people who are gravely ill. I interviewed a guy, a 70-year-old former doctor in prison because of Medicare fraud, and he has a slew of health conditions that make him particularly vulnerable to this virus. Diabetes, all kinds of heart problems. His wife has Alzheimer's, so he's also trying to get out to take care of her. This is the kind of person who they're trying to get home into home confinement.
This is also changing policing and also how prosecutors attack stuff. As one district attorney put it, we're not putting low-level punks in jail at the moment. How do police officers and even the correctional officers, I guess, how do they all feel about this approach?
It's a mixed bag. I certainly have interviewed officers who feel like they did the crime, they need to do the time, they still have that position. And so you do not have a universal acceptance of this, to be sure. But I think that most of the people who are trying to manage the jail population and keep it safe, they are trying to change the thought process on this and are trying to convince the law and order types that these are extraordinary times, that if you have somebody who has a warrant out for a number of traffic tickets, this isn't the time to throw them in jail. This is the time to maybe revisit that. And yes, there's some conflict and there's certainly some people who are pushing back, but there is an indisputable movement towards trying to find a solution to finding the right people to release early so that the jail population does not become the next cruise ship. And there's a great fear that it's going to become like that because of the conditions not as sanitary maybe as most places, people packed really closely together, a lot of people who are not the healthiest people on earth. And it's by everyone's thought process, a recipe for disaster. So I think what's amazing is that what you're seeing is both conservatives and progressives actually coming together on this and trying to find a solution. There may be some dispute about how far to go or what the path should be, but there is rigorous discussion about how to handle this.
Kimberly Kindy, national investigative reporter at The Washington Post. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Oscar Ramirez, and this has been your daily coronavirus update. Don't forget that for more top news stories, you can catch me on the Daily Dive podcast every Monday through Friday. So follow us on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.